Alright, book of Colossians. We hit those seven ways of peace last time, and at the start of that chapter. And we'll start off, just to start with a reminder of what's going on here. Colossians chapter 1, it says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now sometimes when it says and, it doesn't mean another option. Sometimes it means the exact same person is the same thing. Like you say Brother Ryan is a son, he's a father, got a sister and brother.
Yeah.
And then he's a brother. And you can say all that about him at one time. He's a father and son and brother. And so that's what he's saying right here. He's saying to the saints and faithful brethren, and to the people. That's the same thing that's going on right there. And the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God and the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Now you see right there in verse 4, verse 3 here, he's talking about giving thanks. Alright, so, you know, we've talked a lot about giving thanks. That's part of helping to be spiritual. The Bible talks a lot about being thankful. And you're going to see some things through here where it's talking about being thankful. Hello, girls. It's coming where they're talking about being thankful. And he says this right here in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And that's got to do with his praying. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and praying always for you. And so look at that right there where he says praying. Praying always. Praying always. Alright. Now I don't mean it's, you know, 24-7, 365 days a year, all that stuff. It's praying always. And what he's praying for. Now you'll hear this stuff. You'll hear some people come in a lot of times, and we'll be on a Wednesday night and I'll be taking out prayer requests. And they'll say, you know, we had two saved at the jail. Make sure you pray for these new converts. And everybody's like, oh yeah, yeah, amen. Paul takes it serious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, Paul takes this thing serious right here where he says, praying always for you since we heard of your faith. When they got saved, somebody said, Paul said, we're going to pray for you. This is a new convert here. We're going to pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So he's praying for them. They're new converts there in verse 3. And then in verse 4, since he's heard of their faith, so since they got saved, and they didn't just get saved. Look what else it says about them. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Alright? See, that's something with people that get saved. When somebody gets saved, they get in church, they get around a bunch of Christians. And you know what they do? They just love everybody.
They really do love everybody.
It takes a while before we finally show ourselves and give them reason to hate us. But when you first get saved, you just think everybody's perfect and nobody argues and nobody gets mad and nobody's in the flesh. But what happens is this is the way of the attitude that we should keep. The love which you have for all the saints. So you can see there with that new converts, those converts there, the love that they have for all the saints. So he's thanking God and he's praying for them. He's praying for them. And so we'll go down now in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And again, you get into that thing about the gospel, and the gospel is all about hearing it. You have to hear it. You have to hear the gospel. And that's why it says over in Romans, how can they hear without a preacher? That's why it's so important. The gospel is so important. And he brings it up here again in verse 5. He says, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. is this hope which is laid up for them, okay? That's what he's talking about. And verse 6, he says, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And so what you see there then in verse 5, everything there in verse 5, this hope, is based on what? The gospel. It's based on the gospel. This hope that it's already in heaven for them. So this idea, this stuff that we have, this thing of Nathan's grandmother, Dilbert's mom, the hope that he's got, that we're going to be seeing her again, is based on this gospel that he's been preached, that they've been preached to. And this hope that you have in heaven, where you're going to go to heaven, this hope that you have where you're going to live forever in a place like that, is all based on the gospel. And not just that hope, but when you look at verse 6 says, which has come unto you, and what's that that's come unto them? That's the gospel, which has come unto you. He says there in verse 5, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you. The gospel's come unto them. As it is in all the world, the gospel went to all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. What bringeth forth fruit? What's bringing forth that fruit right there?
The gospel.
The gospel bringing forth that fruit. So you see the importance there with the gospel. It's in the world and it's bringing forth fruit. As it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And so what he's saying is, we're praying for you since you got saved, and we've heard of the love that you have for all the saints. And he started this letter off, he begins to talk to them just like he would anybody else that he's got a relationship with, as far as brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's giving thanks. He's giving thanks to God for all this stuff that he's seeing in this church here. And, you know, the way you can relate this, I mean, one thing you can do, there's two ways we can relate this. If you're a Sunday school teacher, or a junior church, or preaching in the jails, or just got some people you're dealing with, okay, whatever it is, some people you're talking to at school, some people you led to the Lord, some things that you got going on. Here's the way you relate to this thing. All right, Paul has counted everything but dung in his life, and he says that I may win Christ. And when he's got these people right here, he's wrote them a letter. And he's writing them a letter to let them understand how much he cares about them, and that he's praying for them. And it ain't just, he ain't lying and saying, I'm praying for you, when he really ain't praying for them.
Right.
And he's giving thanks to God that these people got saved. And it's so easy as Christians to get caught up with the distractions in this world. And it happens, and we all go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's the way it works. And we have to be reminded at times. But, I mean, Sunday school teachers should be praying for their children. They should know the names. If a Sunday school teacher doesn't know the names of the kids that's in their Sunday school class, that'd be terrible. And I understand with bus kids, you've got a lot of kids that come in one time, they go out, and it's hard to keep up with them. But I'll tell you this. If a person's got a prayer list for those kids, and they're praying for them and calling them out by name, they know. And they know situations, or they hear them talking about things, and they're interested in them, and they're loving them. And you think about, what would it be for a little girl to come into a Sunday school class and get ready to walk out, and you hand them a letter. And she walks out, and she takes that letter home, and it's just a letter like that right there. Hey, we're so thankful that you got saved, that you got baptized, that you're in church, and you're coming to church, and that you're spending time in Sunday school class. I just want to let you know that our church loves you and that we're praying for you. And if there's anything you need, you just talk to us. Now, that's the letter that these people got. Now, can you imagine what that would do for a young kid that has nobody in their life that loves them? And that's how this stuff, when we look at this stuff, and you look at this at the start of this chapter, and you start going down through there, and I mean, it's good stuff. And it's doctrinal stuff through there. But the practical thing is you're sitting here realizing this is somebody that has some converts. And if it's not his converts, actually it's through Epaphras.
Yeah.
But Paul is excited about this thing. And he is not letting, you know, I'll talk about, you know, I get to talk about Facebook sometimes, how people know everything on everybody's life and what's going on. And it would be a shame for people to know more about people that don't even go to this church than they do about their own Sunday school kids and what type of life they got home and what stuff's going on. And it's so easy to get caught up in what's this person doing, this person doing, this person doing, as opposed to the kids and what they're doing. And a lot of times we don't even think that way. And so Paul here, what he's done is he's showing you, he's giving you an example on new converts and how to be thankful for them and to be praying for them and to let them know. He wrote them a letter to let them know what he thought about them. My kids, Laura and Julia, I don't know about Sarah, but I know Laura and Julia, when they were in Miss Lisa's class, man, there is nobody like Miss Lisa. And that she's just, I mean, I listen to her, them talk about, she talks, they talk about her all the time, about just the things that she's done for them and the things that, like, they'll mention something and she'll bring it up a few weeks later. How did that thing go with da-da-da? And you, I'm sitting there hearing a story. You know what I know? She's been praying about that. She's praying about things like that right there. And it's on her mind, and she cares about those kids up there. And those kids love Miss Lisa. They love her. Love her to death. So you see how effective you can be towards somebody, and you just never know what that's going to do in somebody's life. Now, it gets down to verse 7. It says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And so what he's saying right there in verse 7 is all this stuff, the gospel is about the gospel. It says you heard it, and you heard it from Epaphras. All right, so you heard it from Epaphras, which is a man. And it just goes to show you there that God can use, you know, it's good for us if we're going to church camp to be organized. It's good for us to have a schedule when we get up there to know we got to be here, we got to be there, we got to be there, we got to be there, we got to be there. And we're going to do games like this right here, and we're going to have some people get some skits like this right here, and we need a chair set up like this right here. And you need to be organized. Things need to be done in order so it's not chaotic when you got 200 people up there. But that is not why the Lord blesses.
Yeah.
And God don't bless organization. God blesses through a man.
Amen.
He uses people. He'll bless through a woman. He uses human instruments. And those human instruments have to be clean, and they have to be ready to be used. They have to have the right heart to be thinking about what they've got and what God's given them to be able to minister to. And they got to have this stuff, and they got to be thinking about every opportunity. And so you see down here, he says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Now, to show you that, look at go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3. And Brother Dilber's talking about that election a while ago. And you start thinking about people like that. You got Hillary Clinton, and you got Bernie Sanders, and you got, you know, all the Republican guys, you know, you got Cruz, Trump, Rubio, Kasich, Rand Paul just quit today, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Fiorina, you got all those people. And they're going over there in Iowa, and they're going to this town hall meetings, and they're talking to all these people, and you just look at them, and I mean, they are very, very popular. Very popular people. And everybody's wanting to talk to them, everybody's wanting to get around them. You got we were over there at that game, the CAK last night, basketball game, and there's a guy over there named Howell. His name was Jordan Howell, played football over there. His dad is on the news. His name's maybe his name is Jordan Howe.
Todd Howe.
Todd Howe, okay. He's over there. And I seen some girls went down there and they took a selfie with him, you know, went over there and took a selfie and they come back and say, hey, how can you take a selfie with me? No, really, why didn't you? But the point is, those people's popular. And you think about it, you think about how popular people are and how famous people are, and you just, you know, you see a sports figure, if you want to see them out, you tell everybody, you know, that quarterback of Tennessee, Joshua Dobbs, who was at a game last year between Catholic and CAK, and he came in and sat right behind us. And I told Stephen, I said, hey, guess who's behind us? Josh Dobbs. He goes, really? Yeah, I said. So he started trying to get a picture. Finally, he just swallowed his pride, so I'm going to go up there and get a picture with him. Ask him to take a picture. So he gets up there, and then where those bleachers are, you got the top where you sit on, and you got a place for your feet, and you got the top. So Joshua Dobbs was like right here in that little place that you stand. Stephen got up on the steps, so he'd be as tall as that guy. And took a picture with him. But that's man for you. Now, look, when we talk about God using a man, talking about Epaphras, or just using somebody, look at this right here. Look at Luke chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, so you've got the reign of Tiberius Caesar. So here you've got a Caesar, Tiberius Caesar. So here you've got the 15th year. Here's somebody you've got reigning. It's this Tiberius Caesar. Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. So you've got the Caesar, you've got the governor. Herod being a tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene. And so you've got all these bigwigs here in this 15th year, okay? I mean, this is there, and this is the people that are outstanding people. And then you got in the religious realm, verse 2, look what it says, Ananias and Caiaphas being the high priests. So you've got the high priest there, you've got all these important people, you've got the religious leaders of the world, and you know what God's going to do? He's going to talk to somebody. He said, I need to talk to somebody. And you got all, God mentions all those big popular people. And then it says, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. God looks past all those big shots that the world's looking at and we're enamored with and we're looking at them. And he looks through all those guys and he's pushing them to the side and he's looking for a man. And he says, I'm looking for John. I got to have somebody that I can give the word of God. He's done the same thing with David. When Samuel shows up looking for somebody to anoint, surely Eliab, look at this. This has got to be the Lord's anointed. Look at him. God said, that ain't him. That ain't him. That ain't him. Eliab ain't him. No, Samuel. You're looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. Oh. Well, what about this? What about this? No. And all these guys in the room. He says, there's, you got anybody else? Yeah, David. Where's he at? He's working.
Yeah.
He's doing something. And he went and found a new man. And you know what he does? When God is going to do something, he's going to find him somebody, a man, a woman, that is willing to be an instrument, to be used, that's going to have this type of testimony. And when Paul's talking about him right here, go back over to Colossians. He says, verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Paul giving you a compliment like that under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Not only did he declare unto you the gospel, he's declared unto us how good you all are doing. So Epaphras is this go-between guy that he is eat up with these people too. And now Paul's excited about these people as well. Now, go down to verse 9. Verse 9. What time is
it? 8:48.
8:48, all right. He says, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's praying. He's praying for them. Now, here's what he's praying. He's praying that they're going to be filled. Not with money.
Yeah.
That ain't what he's praying about. He ain't praying about health. Amen. That's not what he's interested in praying about.
Amen.
He is interested in them being filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now look at that.
What a prayer request.
You got the apostle Paul there, and he's praying for a group of people. You know what you need to be praying for your Sunday school class, or for your kids, for your grandkids, for your nieces, your nephews? This right here. If they're saved, you need to be praying that they'll be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he says this, verse 10. Why? Because it takes it to walk worthy of the Lord. You know, a lot of times you get aggravated with your children. And I know, because I do. And sometimes I wonder how much prayer is going into them. So, when I think that, I make sure that I tell Beth she's going to have to pray some more. Because I'm slacking. She does a lot better than I do. And I know most of you ladies in here, you're on your knees to walk for your kids. I know you are. And that's good. And this, when you are, this is something that you need to pray for. About spiritual understanding and for wisdom. And he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So they're praying that they'll get this wisdom and understanding that they might walk worthy of the Lord, to where they're pleasing God, to where they're being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So that's why they're praying for that. Then in verse 11 he says he's also praying that they'd be strengthened with all might. So they're also, he's also praying that they'd be strengthened. So he's praying that they'd be filled, and he's praying that they'd be strengthened with his might. Strengthened with his might. Why? According to his glorious power. Now look at this. Unto all patience and long-suffering. He's praying. You know what? If you, if we talk about this patience and long-suffering, and we talk about we're supposed to have it, being patient with people, being long-suffering with people. And it's so hard to do that. You know what Paul's doing? He's praying. He's praying that they'll be strengthened with might, with God's might. Why? So they can have patience and long-suffering. Not just patience and long-suffering, but look what else it says. With what? Joyfulness. Patience and joyfulness. Together. That's wild. Patience and joyfulness. It just don't happen for me. I need to be, pray for me, I'll be strengthened with mine. Because long-suffering and patience, it's not two of my top qualities. But it's something I'm supposed to have. And so he's praying that they're going to be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's praying that they'll be strengthened with might, so they'll be able to walk worthy, or they'll be able to have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And then verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father. Again, so he talks about up here this praying for them and giving thanks, and then he brings it back up again after he explains this gospel. And he says, here's what I'm praying for you about. I'm praying that you'll be filled. I'm praying that you're going to be strengthened. And then he says, I'm praying, giving thanks. Giving thanks. Now you think about giving thanks to say to the Father or to God?
Father.
To the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, when people begin to thank God for things, or at least I do, and I thank everybody this way. Lord, I thank you for a house, got a roof over my head. That's good. Lord, I'm thankful, you know, that I got a job. I'm thankful that I'm in America. I'm thankful that, you know, my car's running. I'm thankful that my kids are healthy. It's just stuff like that right there. And that's good. Thank you. Need to thank the Lord for that. No, you don't take it, you know, for granted. But look at what he says right here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. He's made us meet. M-E-E-T. Go to Luke, get Luke 3 and Matthew 3. And sometimes we don't realize how undeserving we are. And hold your place there, Luke chapter 3. And Matthew chapter 3. Start in Matthew chapter 3. Start in Luke chapter 3. Yeah, no, we've done Matthew 3. That's fine. Matthew 3, 8. Look what he says. Bring forth, therefore, fruits, meat for repentance. Now go to Luke. Luke chapter 3. Look at the same verse, verse 8. Same story. And he says, verse 8, bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. So he interchanges that word meat. So what meat means worthy. You know what God's done? He made you worthy to receive an inheritance. He's made you worthy. You ain't worthy. Yeah. Look at y'all.
Amen.
Look at me. Look at us. And we forget how unworthy we are. I mean, you're looking at, I mean, good grief. You think about what you did when you were young, in your 20s, before you got to church. And you're looking at God, the Father, who is completely perfect, sinless. And you think about what I've done when I was in the Army. Oh my goodness. I didn't want people to know. I mean, there were some things that I'll say, you didn't do this. You know, I used to drink. That is a vague statement. There's some stuff that I do not want anybody to know.
Amen,
ever. And for me to just think I'm worthy of heaven. Look what he says. He says, go back to Colossians. He says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. You know who you got saying that? You got a guy there who was killing children. Children.
Yeah.
He was hauling children to jail and putting them in prison. I mean, we're talking about ISIS over there and what ISIS is doing. That was the Apostle Paul. That's what he was doing. When he talks about being the chiefest of sinners, you know when he sits down and he starts praying, he's giving thanks, and he says that you may be worthy of this inheritance, he is thankful. He's thankful. And it is easy when we're frustrated and we're aggravated and somebody's doing us wrong, stick our chest out and say, well, let me tell you what I do. And I don't do this and I don't do that. Well, that's when we're in the flesh.
Amen.
But when we get straightened up and we're set and we're serious and we're going to sit down and we start thinking about the stuff that we just hope to God and people never find out, what our thoughts are, actions we've done before. And then we sit here and it's hard. And when we begin to give thanks, all we can do is say thanks God for a house and thanks God for transportation. There's more to it than that. I mean, be thankful for that. I don't even want to make it sound like that's not a good thing. It is to be thankful for that. But when we think of who we are,
yeah,
and where we came from and what we used to be, when you think about that that woman at the well, I mean, look over there. Go to John chapter 4. You talk about a life that got changed. You know, there's people that I used to hang out with, and I'll see them somewhere, and they'll be around my kids, and they'll start talking. Boy, I used to know your dad back in the day. And I start trembling. I'm just sitting there thinking, just shut, don't say a word. That's what I'm thinking. Don't say a word. Yeah, did your dad ever tell you about me? No. Yeah. Stop. I don't want to hear. I don't want them to hear anything about me. And it just scares me to death. I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, ugh, what it's like. Somebody that knows, that was with me, that knows me like that, And you got here in John chapter 4, it says, the woman saith unto him, verse 25. Well, let's start over in, you got there where she comes, he comes to get something to drink. Look down verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, thou thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Just saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Oh, man, how many times have you been there? You're sitting here talking and you're acting like a big shot, or you're just feeling pretty good about yourself, and somebody walks up that knows you and how you used to be, and all of a sudden, you don't want them talking. And you're sitting here, she says, woman saith unto him, sir, verse 17, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that says thou truly. I guarantee you, her ear perked up. She's like, oh no. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And they go through this thing about worshiping, and she's going through all this stuff and how to worship. And then it says down in verse 27, and upon this came the disciples, marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know what she did? She brought that water pot, which is a type of everything she's ever done wrong. And when she met Jesus, she left
him.
And she had the well of water that ain't going to run dry. And that's what God's done for us. And go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. It says, who, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He delivered us from the power of darkness, from Satan, unto. He says, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And you went from, I mean, you just think the worst thing you can think of. You think of a third world country, somewhere where, deal with, you talk about those Philippine girls over there, and when you went over there, 8, 9, 10 years old on that street, and they're getting taken out and getting sold to men and done what, however, 8, 9, 10 years old, ain't got nothing to eat. They don't even feed them; they just abuse them. It's in the back, and they're eating scraps off the road, off the thing. Just think about those kids. And then from that, somebody adopts them and brings them to America and puts them in a home where they've got running water and they've got somebody taking care of them. Can you imagine what that is? That's what God did. We were under Satan, and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Ain't that something to be thankful for? That's what he's sitting here saying. Giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, talking about his Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who, talking about Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he just goes down there and starts bragging on God the Father, and he starts bragging on Jesus Christ. And you know what he's doing? He's giving thanks. Giving thanks. And sometimes it's good to sit down and think, you know what? I didn't get a list of stuff down that I need to thank the Lord about, just because sometimes I forget about what it is. And so here in this book of Colossians, Paul does it a lot. He'll get talking to somebody, and he'll be bragging on them, and he'll mention the gospel, which takes him into God, which takes him into the Son. And then the next thing you know, he's just bragging. It's like going up and talking to somebody and asking them how they're doing. Oh, I'm doing good. How's your grandkids? And the next thing you know, for the next 20 minutes, you're thinking, I should have never asked that question. I've been hurt every grade they got, every A they got, every paper that they've ever made, every point they've ever scored, every thing that's where people's done them wrong, and I'm just sitting here. That's what Paul does every time the Lord, every time he thinks about God, when he's writing a letter, he starts bragging on God, which takes him into bragging on the Son and Jesus Christ and all of those things, and it just happens like that all the time. And so when you sit there, he starts giving thanks, and because of what he's done for us and what Jesus Christ has done for us. 904, so that'll get us down to We'll read the rest of this stuff because he just keeps bragging on the Lord down there. We'll start around verse 15 or 16 next week. All right. Bow our heads around you just.